This morning we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. We've been going through the epistles, Romans to Jude, and we've been looking at one verse out of each epistle that relates to personal evangelism. And of course, there's many verses within Romans particularly, but throughout the epistles that relate to evangelism, because after all, that was why the Lord came, to seek and to save that which is lost. And it's always on the front burner in the heart of God. When we went to Romans, we looked at Romans 1 and 14 through 16. And Paul said there, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and unwise. So as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to them that are Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in those verses, Paul uses I am three times. I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. And we noted those scriptures and tried to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ashamed? Do we see that we do owe the world a debt to give them the gospel? And then we went to 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, where Paul said, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. And we drop back to chapter 9 also, and where Paul said that he became all things to all men, that they might be saved, and how we need to build bridges in people's lives to the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ, and we need to beseech people to be saved. And then last week in Galatians, I couldn't help but looking at two verses. The first verse was about how that Paul had written to them, and that if anybody preaches any other gospel than that which they received, let him be accursed. And we talked about how today the gospel is being so perverted, leaving out repentance. Talked about how even the Calvinists pervert the gospel, and just barely scraped that. And then we looked at chapter 6 of Galatians, how that Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And looked at some other verses about doing good. Matthew says, let your light show shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And a number of things, were saved unto good works. That they do good. Paul said to Timothy, tell your church that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute. And how that we ought to be people that exemplify Christ in doing good, and also that being salt to draw them to the Lord. Now, today, we come to a good reminder of the need to pray. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19, Paul closes out this epistle to the church at Ephesus, and he says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here, these words are a little bit baffling if we don't get the background, but here, the great Apostle Paul, the man who wrote much of the epistles of the New Testament, Apostle Paul, who was not out of line to say to disciples of the Lord, "You follow me, follow me." I don't even like to tell people to follow me when I'm going down the creek, you know. But spiritually, he said, "Follow me." This man who planted churches in the first century, both in Asia and in Europe, says, "Pray for me." Has there been something happen where Paul has fallen? Or is Paul being here in prison? You can see that from, he said he was in bonds. Has there been something happened that Paul was in a place of weakness? Something that calls for prayer? Well, no. 1,000 times no. But he realizes, as we must realize, that evangelism is an activity given to us by God to share the gospel. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God and salvation." That evangelism is an activity given to us by God that we're absolutely incapable of doing in our own strength. Can't do it. And I want you to note the context here also. If you drop back to verse 10 of chapter 6, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might," not our might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that high place is referred to those in authority. And so, this passage again arrested my attention as we sat here this morning. At least for me, why isn't it warmer in here? You know, are they trying to acclimatize me to go hunting? What's the deal? You know, I want to be comfortable when I come to church. I'm fasting, so I'm losing weight. We're in a war. And it's a spiritual war. And it's a war that can't be fought by smacking a guy harder than he hits you, or having better armament. And so Paul reminds us this morning that there's a war going on. I just got through reading a chapter out of a book that's on prophecy, and it was a chapter in there about the rise of Islam and how there's no tolerance for Christianity in Islamic nations, or just to have some scripture or a Bible could mean that you lose your head. And that our missionary is leaving this week to go to the West Coast, East Coast, and then finally back to Lebanon after 3 weeks or more or less. And that he goes back to be able to walk on the beautiful beaches of Lebanon. Well, he goes back to engage again in a war. Not that he's disengaged, but maybe it's not as intense as when he's there. And here we have Paul in prison, not being able to travel around and give out the gospel. And he says, I want you to pray for me. And he says, I want you to pray for me that I have boldness. And I don't know if you noticed there, in just those two verses that we read, and verse 19, that I may open my mouth boldly. And in verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly. It was on Paul's mind to be bold, which implies that there's something working in his nature of his humanity that would make him say, it'll go better for me if I keep my mouth shut. But you see, he wasn't called to please men, he was called to please God. And he says, this is something that has to be supernatural. The Spirit of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That he's cognizant of the fact that he needs the Lord. And what's amazing when you go over to Philippians, we go on into the next book here, it also was written from imprisonment in Rome. And Paul talks about how, I don't know if this is chronologically, that whether Ephesians was before Philippians, but Paul talks about in Philippians how that the gospel has gone throughout all the palace. Nero, or maybe another, I'm not sure if Nero is ruling here now in Rome or not. But when Paul said it went throughout all the palace, that's an interesting word, because what it was a Praetorian Guard. And the Praetorian Guard was the elite troops that were to be the protection of the Caesar of Rome. They were his bodyguards. They were the ones that watched out for him. And the Praetorian Guard, because they were so close to Caesar and that he knew them, that when the Roman army went into a region of the area where Rome had conquered, they would often allow the people of the area to still to maintain their culture and go on about their doing, but they would put an army official over that territory. And those officials, Caesar wanting to keep control of his kingdom, that the officials that he put over Galatia or Ephesus or wherever Rome had conquered would be officials that are close to Caesar. He didn't just appoint someone out there that could be eventually a competitor, but he would appoint a Praetorian guard. And so what happened, the best that we can understand, is that Paul had a watchman over him. Some say that a soldier even chained to him, that it was a Praetorian guard, and they were there for a certain time period in his cell. And so it's like when you pick up a hitchhiker. He's got to listen to your witness or jump out at 60 miles an hour. Well, the guard had to stay there. And some of them got saved. And some of them got sent to be over a region that Rome had conquered. And the gospel is being spread throughout the world, the known world there, on the Rome's penny. And so Paul is saying here, we need to pray. But before that, he gives us the reason in verse 12. And then he gives us some armor to wear. He says the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness there in verse 14. And we won't break all those down. The feet shod with the gospel in verse 15. The shield of faith in verse 16. And helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And so he gives the girdle, the breastplate, the shod feet, the shield, the helmet, the sword. And then he says, praying always. And don't think here when he says praying always that that is another part of the armor. But it says, oh, all the armor's here, and then overlaying that or hovering over that is the absolute necessity of prayer. In order to keep that girdle of truth, which ties up all the breastplate and all the armor and holds the sword, they're going to have to know the truth. And that was prayed about and prayed over. And Paul says, praying always. Now that's an interesting word, always. There's a couple of words in the Greek language for time. One is chronos. Chron, C-R-O-N, chronos. And the other word is kairos. You can see here chronology. This refers to, you know, it refers to time in the sense of measurement, like, like our clock, you know, whatever. But kairos is different than chronos. Chronos, of course, chronological time, refers to a clock or a calendar. But kairos is a time for something to be done. Well, the best way to really understand kairos is an opportunity. And so he's not saying praying always that, you know, The Muslims, they go to prayer three times, maybe five times. Is it five or three? Five times. And they have a certain time that they pray. And that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about that when praying always, that we're always ready, but when we see an opportunity, that we pray about it. Like when Jesus went to the woman at the well, he didn't pray, but he knew, because he knew what was going on. He knew all about her. But you see someone that you're wanting to talk to, and lo and behold, here they are passing you, or come up and begin to talk to you. Then you bow your head and pray. It's about praying about possibilities, opportunities. It's not about a schedule, but it's about being alert to opportunities. It's watching and being on an alert to be attentive to what's going on about us. And I'm afraid that many times, because I have an agenda, you know, I've taken out my piece of paper and I wrote, I got to do this and this and this and this and this today. And I will not be interrupted. But God comes along and he wants to interrupt us. He wants to give us an opportunity. And so when he says praying always, he's not, again, it's not about a time frame, but it's about being alert, praying that maybe that door is being opened to me. It's being wise about what's going on around us. It's a moral alertness. It's not a physical one. It's to be alert, be watchful, always looking for divine appointments. Here I'm out with a goal to go get some stuff that I can work on my house or work on my car, and this divine appointment pops up. This guy stumbles into my path. Does that happen? Well, if we're looking for it, it happens. And to be in prayer, and Paul is saying that watching thereunto, you know, watching for it, in all perseverance. What he means there is with intense effort, that we are realizing that it takes earnest prayer. And you see here, it's not so much for the lost people, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's a prayer not for the lost to be saved, but a prayer that the saved could see that the lost needs saved. The faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's a prayer that to realize that though we each have jobs, the Lord wants us on those jobs to be looking for opportunities. And Paul said, pray that we might see those opportunities. Pray in all seasons. And it says, pray here in the Spirit. Not that we're Pentecostal, but we're led of the Spirit. that the Lord is working. We're praying for others, all saints, and we're persevering in those prayers. It actually calls for alertness, as we've said, and dedication. And, you know, there's something liberating, and the shucking of responsibility when I can say, I prayed my three times a day, as I think Daniel did, and not that he was wrong, but if I say, well, I've already prayed today, and I'm done with that for the day, and he said, no, that's not what it's about. It's about looking for possibilities, looking for opportunities, being open, being alert, that God brings people into our lives, and when that happens, that we pray, Lord, help me, like one place that he might speak the right utterance. He says with all praying for us that God would open us a door of utterance. And then he says in Colossians that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to talk to someone and went away and said, oh, I wish I would have said that. Or I wish I would have done that. And not that God can't use what we have said, but that we ought to speak as we ought to speak. And so that's the general thing. But then he gets very specific. And he says, and for me. Pray for me. Now you would think he would say, pray for me because, man, this is a nasty prison cell that I'm living in. Pray for me. I could use a good bath. Pray for me. This prison food is pretty nasty. But Paul realizes where he's at because the Lord put him there. And he says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. Utterance. It's just a ordinary word for speaking. That his voice may be heard. That he may talk of the Lord. And then the word opening. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth. And that's not no big significance about that. It's just literally that I'm, if you put it in a negative way, pray for me that I might not keep my mouth shut. That I might get over just keeping my mouth shut. A lot of times, as I've already alluded to, if we keep our mouth shut, we still have a lot of problems. But when it comes to the gospel, we cannot keep our mouth shut. And he says, pray for me that I won't keep my mouth shut. You know, especially when you're in a group with us men, if we're in a group, you know, we're at break time or something in a group and things are being said that are anti-God and wrong, and to be silent is the consent with it. And he said, pray for me, but I might open my mouth. I do believe that the best time to witness to somebody is not in a group of men, because in a break place where there's a bunch of men and they're going on about religion, they don't want to be embarrassed by other men. But if you can get them alone and talk to them, you'll see that they may be more open and truthful to you. But nevertheless, error should not be allowed to permeate in any place. And then, as we pointed out, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly. Open my mouth boldly, that I may speak boldly. Anybody have a problem with boldness in witnessing? What are you doing about it? What are you doing about not being bold? Well, Paul said, pray. Oh, come on. Just go pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Yeah, go try it. It's a supernatural work which requires supernatural ability. There's a backbone that needs to be placed within me that doesn't come by just manning up. It actually comes by saying, Lord, I can't do this. I'm so helpless and hopeless without you. I'm feeble. I'm as weak as water. But by your grace, I'll do it. By your help, I'll do it. Lord, I'll become bold only through you. And that's kind of a helpless place where there's great joy and relief in depending upon the Lord. And when we leave there, we can say, thank you, Lord, for what you did. Not me, but you. And the joy goes to him, but the joy fills your heart. And so boldness. When Pastor preaches here, he needs to have boldness. When Noah preaches today, he needs to know that he's standing behind the cross, what we often say. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. We don't want to see Noah. We know he can have gout if he eats the wrong food. We know he has a bad back. We know as a young man, his hair is getting gray. But what we want to see today is the Lord speak through Noah. And that's what Paul's getting at here. Boldness. Often we pray for our missionaries. But do we ever pray that they might have boldness? It must be important. Paul uses it in two verses right behind each other. Boldness. And so, as I said before, some of these verses that we've been studying about evangelism are convicting. They are direct. And you see, oftentimes we don't consider ourselves to be doing evangelistic work if we don't pass out a tract or witness to somebody or be involved in a mail out as we did when we was mailing to the villages, and then we think that we've done our evangelistic work. But maybe we've already talked in the mission conference about tilling the soil that precedes sometimes sowing the seed. But maybe even a step back from that and tilling the soil, and I think we mentioned it when I preached, but we need to pray. Pray for boldness. We're all chickens. We're all chickens when it comes to, but listen, when he talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood and principality powers, remember the archangel wouldn't even take on Satan, but he said he turned him over to the Lord. And this game, and it's not really a game, but there's not one of us that aren't out of our league. But we got a good player on our side. The captain of our salvation. The Lord who has a host in heaven. And so, a good reminder today that we need to pray. Let's just look at a few of those. Some of the prayers we should make. I got about 5 minutes left here. In Luke 10, I won't let call on me to turn there, but Luke 10, it says, therefore saith he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And so we're to pray for laborers, and we're to address the Lord. I read these to you earlier, but in Colossians 4:3 and 4:4, with all praying also for us, his crew that Paul was with, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That's interesting, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. You see, in evangelism, we need to understand that the Spirit of God goes before us. It's kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading out of Isaiah chapter 53, and then he came to Philip, and Philip said, what are you reading? And he said, this passage, and as he's speaking about himself, the prophet himself, or some other man. And he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. We have to understand this, and I have to understand this myself. When God begins to stir my heart about talking to a certain person, I have to understand that God has been there before me. God does not send out you and I cold turkey. Understand what I'm saying? We don't go cold turkey. He's there working. And he said that he might give me utterance, that I may manifest as I ought to speak. And then here in this passage, twice he asked for boldness. Give me boldness. Pray for boldness. He did it again. In Acts, the Bible says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And that's when they were hiding after persecution, hiding in the house. And they asked God to, and the Bible says that the place was shaken. We ought to pray that the word of God would have free course. He says in 2 Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And so we're in a war. It's a spiritual war. It's a war that takes spiritual armament. We ought to pray always in talking about opportunities. pray for opportunities, and as Paul said, that a door might be open to me. And let's realize that even the great Apostle Paul needed boldness. And so do we. We can be easily intimidated. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. But what unchains me from the snare, what allows me to escape the snare, is the fear of God. And what is going to happen to lost mankind. And so, if I would say anything today in closing, I would say, pray for me. I need boldness. You're dismissed.